This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Is Sky Blues Extra.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Sky Blues Extra podcast, as ever sponsored by the Sky Blue Talent and Dylan's Brewery, your best option for pre-match and post-match entertainment. I'm Ross Spence, and for the next 45 minutes or so, I'll be joined by Andy as we cover the game from the weekend, which was QPR. How are you, mate, firstly?
Yeah, good, mate. Yourself? I'm better after Saturday's result, I can tell you.
Yeah. Most definitely, mate. I'm exactly the same. It was a long time coming, so to speak, with all of the meltdown on Twitter and everything so far, wasn't it? As mentioned just a minute ago, we will be covering the QPR game from the weekend, where the Sky Blues managed to pick up all 3 points for the second consecutive season at Loftus Road. Nice to get a first 3 points on the board since Middlesbrough at home, wasn't it, Andy?
Yeah, it's been a while. Too many draws, as we've, you know, discussed over the last few pods, haven't we? But massive win, because if I'm being honest, before the game, I wasn't really expecting it, to be fair. I thought a draw maybe at best, but they surprise us sometimes, the Sky Blues. And Loftus Road recently has been a good hunting ground for us, hasn't it? So, yeah, very pleased.
Yeah, as you said, it's been a ground that really, before last season, we never seemed to manage to win at, did we? It was kind of like a bogey ground for us. So,
yeah,
it was not. It's nice to obviously get 3 goals in consecutive seasons there, really, as well, isn't it? And go away with 3 points in both games. So, yeah, it was good to, like we said, good to get some 3 points on the board. We'll go to the starting 11 now as well. Obviously, since the Huddersfield game, let's start with the two changes. Obviously, Andy Sakamoto and Ayari dropped out. Latty Bader and Jamie Allen into the starting 11. Good, fair changes in your opinion, or would you have liked to see anything different for the game at all?
No, it was fair, because I think with Sakamoto, I think he played well, and I don't think he deserved to be dropped, but I think he did it because he's a bit unsure about his defensive abilities, isn't he, away from home. So that's understandable for me, from Robbins. And I think the Swedish lad, Ayari, I thought he was anonymous against Huddersfield. I thought, you know, he scored the goal, which hit him. But apart from that, he did nothing. So I don't think he deserved to start against QPR. So I think the changes were fair, to be honest.
Yeah, most definitely, mate. I'm the same. I was a big critic of Allen last year, but I think it was more so not for his overall play, more in terms of him being in that 10 position, as I don't see him as a 10. I see him as where he was playing this weekend, almost as in like a joint three or as a two next to, say, a Sheaf or Eccles of some sort, because he's got energy, he's good on the ball. He just doesn't have that number 10 instinct and touch for me, if that makes sense. He can, a few times last season, he'd get in good positions and it'd almost be like, another attempt that would go sort of missing. Whereas obviously now we've got Sakamoto, Palmer, O'Hare, all these players that can play in that role. I'm glad to see Allen come back in and almost add that energy, as we said. And like you said, Ayari, for me, didn't really do anything, but in the Huddersfield game, obviously, he got that lucky goal, which hit him, which should have probably been Sims's goal. But yeah, I totally agree. And then obviously, Latty, I don't really think anyone kind of knew why he got dropped out against Huddersfield. I just almost think it may have been the fact Robbins thought, in my opinion, that Sakamoto could probably get at them a little bit more. And he wanted to, that's the only reason I could think, as you've just touched on, as realistically, he can't defend, can he? And if we were playing a better team, so to speak, I don't think Robbins would play Sakamoto in that position. And then obviously it doesn't help when he's come out and said beforehand that we're looking for a Japanese translator still for him. So that shows there's obviously still a bit of a language barrier there, doesn't there? So I think obviously the starting 11 was fair, and it worked out well for us. So kudos to Robbins for that. Stats man, Andy, have you got any stats for us on this one? Because I know you normally have something for us.
Yeah, possession wise, 48%, which is obviously a little bit lower than what it normally is. Expected goals, not too bad, 1.47. We have 15 goal attempts, which is brilliant away from home, and 6 on target, which is okay. Not great, but okay. We have 3 block shots and we have 5 corner kicks. So those attacking stats aren't too bad, to be fair. They're away from home. If you're having 15 goal attempts away from home, that will suit me fine, Ross.
Yeah, absolutely agree with that, mate. Like you said, having 15 shots away from home is something you'd expect to see the other way around. And I personally, going into the game, I wasn't too confident with how we were going to play there off the back of seeing recent performances and the lacklusterness of it, and you know how obviously luck really wasn't on our side, was it, really, going into this game. I thought maybe that they could end their home sort of poor run against us. And obviously Ainsworth touched upon, didn't he, that he was due one over Robbins before the game. And I just had that almost dodgy feeling that something could go against us, or, you know, the lack of conviction that we've had recently and things going against us could play a part. But yeah, there's some good stats there, like you said, mate. And we've come away from that with a pretty good expected goals, haven't we? And yeah, we didn't dominate possession, but we're away from home. So we didn't do that last year and we were effective. So that side of it doesn't really faze me. A lacklustre first half, would you say? I know obviously Sims had a few chances, didn't he? That he's one that he blazed over the bar, and then I think there was another one that he had. So there wasn't really too much to talk about. Bar the one big standout moment in the game probably was that Ben Wilson save to deny Lyndon Dykes, obviously, to keep the score at 0-0. Thoughts on the defending first of all for it, and then obviously the Wilson save, Andy.
Defending was poor. They just stood off the winger, didn't they? Just let him just put the ball in the air, and the marking was poor in the middle as well. So that was all a bit very loose. But the save was just, in my opinion, world class. It was just fantastic. And I said it on Twitter, and I said that if that goes in and they go 1-0 up, I don't think we win that game. So it's almost like a season's saving save, if that makes sense, because it was just huge. Not because it's just a wonderful save, but at the time, if we could have gone 1-0 down, you know, and then end up losing that game again, it just dents the confidence again. And the way that the game turned on that save, it's almost like, you know, a season save that it's going to turn our season. So brilliant by Wilson, because obviously, again, some people were calling for it, you know, to be dropped at the weekend. Not for me. I thought after his performance, I don't think any of the goals this season have been majorly his fault. And he proved his worth on Saturday big time, didn't he, for me?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. I'm not, I think everyone knows, I'm not a big Wilson fan. I just think, don't be wrong, I've got nothing against the guy. I love him when he plays for us. I think he's a great personality. I think how he is as a person, he's a brilliant person, and he has made some good saves. But I just think overall, we need someone better in the sticks. But I'm not one of those people who's going to just say, oh, well, whatever it is, what it is. It was an outstanding save, and it basically won us the game. Because as you said, I think if we go 1-0 down in that game, I think that's a totally different scenario that we end up in, because then the doubts start to kick in. The fans would have then started to probably get a little bit annoyed. It would have been a soft goal to concede. As you said, I thought Thomas was pretty poor for it. He just let him kind of turn him too easily and put a ball into the box like that. He's got to get a lot tighter to his man, obviously, in the games coming up. And speaking on him in that as well, I think his confidence is still there. But compared to sort of the first 3, 4, 5 games that I saw Thomas in, he was like a Rolls Royce, really, wasn't he? He was one of the standout players that a lot of people were buzzing about that we'd signed, because obviously he looked phenomenal. But he does look a bit like, since that Watford game where he had those moments, it could have maybe playing in his head a little bit, or he's just lost a bit of self-confidence, but I think hopefully over time it'll pick back up, and maybe we just again needed a clean sheet of some sort or something to basically just give him that bit of oomph back that will give him that confidence. But yeah, like you said, I think it was a magnificent save. I'm going to call it how it is, and it basically allowed us to go on to go and win the game. So kudos to Ben Wilson then. Onto the second half. Obviously, things really did pick up in this half, didn't they, Andy? Obviously, we had finally where Ellis Sims, the man who's took a lot of stick since being in a Coventry City shirt. Obviously, he's not in pre-season. He'd got a few goals and there was big expectations for him. You know, everyone saw that goal at Chelsea last year for Everton where he got the ball and he did Koulibaly and put it in the bottom corner. I think people were very excited by him when he'd come because he was known as sort of like he can score goals. He's obviously not got off to a great start in a City shirt, but obviously he finally got that goal. Jay De Silva whipped in a cross, which just kind of hit Binks and it almost fell to him. And it was a bit of an instinctive first time finish between Begovic's legs, really, Andy. Pleased for him and thoughts on the goal?
Yeah, very pleased for him because obviously, like you said, pre-season, he looked really good. I was really excited for the coming season. I thought he would score quite a lot of goals for us. Hasn't started the season. It's almost the arrival of Hadji Wright's not helped him in a sense because he almost like, because we spent that much money on Hadji Wright, then almost, and then Godden started scoring goals. It was almost like, oh, well, we've got to play them too because of those two situations. So he has been a little bit unlucky, to be fair, on that sort of thing. And then he didn't really, when he did play, he didn't play very well. And that affected his confidence. So, but going on to the goal, it was a magnificent ball into by Jay De Silva, and we'll probably talk about Jay De Silva later. He's been fantastic all season. He's been a major plus this season. It was a good ball into the box, and it luckily fell to Sims, and he just dispatched it brilliantly, didn't he? And I think Robin said after the game, that's the sort of finish he needed, something that he didn't need to think about. He just smashed it in, instinctive finish to get him up and running. So, yeah, pleased for him.
Yeah, I agree with you, mate. I was just about to touch on that. Robin said, didn't he, a lot of chances were falling to him where he had a lot of time to think about it. Sometimes as a striker, you just need, you need that one chance where you don't have time to think about it and you just have to do something and hit it. And I think it just fell to him and it was just instinct for him to just smash it like that. And then it goes in the back of the net and he's running over him in front of probably 2,500, 3,000 COV fans going absolutely mental. And that's the moment that he's probably been wanting to happen, really. Like he said in his interview after the game, he wants to repay that faith by the club and the price that they've paid for him. And obviously it's his new home now, isn't it, as he alluded on. And I think that hopefully will be a good start. And touching on Jay De Silva as well, I was someone I wanted to talk about as well. What a player he has been. I mean, he's someone that I've admired for a long time and I've looked at Bristol City over the years and just thought, God, if we could have someone like him at wing back, and goodness me, for a free transfer as well, to pick up someone like him. He looks like he gets it. He understands us as a club. He wants to play for us as well. You can see the hunger in him when he plays. For someone so small, he wins a lot of duels and aerial duels as well, and also as well as his speedy attacking direct play. And I actually pointed it out to my dad earlier on when I was watching the highlights of the game. Every pass he does has intent. So every single pass De Silva actually goes on to do, there's an intent behind it. It's not just that, oh, I'll just lump it up the pitch or I'll hit it into the corner and we'll try and do something. There's an aim behind it. He can see Sims in space. He might see Eccles in space. Whereas you look at previous years where we've had someone like Dabo, not to call him out, but would he have maybe seen some of the passes De Silva's seeing now in that position, or even sort of a Bidwell? I don't think they would. I just think De Silva's got an overall better football brain than those guys. And that's not to knock them in the slightest. I just think he's a massive, massive upgrade. I remember a few games ago, it was probably about the fourth game, someone tweeted saying, I don't know what Robin sees into Silva. It's such a pointless signing. May as well have had Bidwell out there. And I remember arguing with him at the time and just thinking, you are insane for thinking that. And I think as the games go on now, people are now starting to hopefully see what De Silva brings and is bringing to our team. And he's a great asset, as you said. So I'm pleased for Sims, pleased for De Silva, obviously, to get sort of the ball in for that goal, because it was a good ball. And then obviously Binks will claim the assist, but it just kind of hits him, doesn't it? And then falls nicely to Sims. On to the second goal now, not long after, obviously, we scored the first. It felt like that anyway. It was not too long. Obviously, Josh Eccles, good bit of football, wasn't it, to be honest with you, in my opinion. There was some good play down the side, obviously. Started off with Lati Bader, obviously, running down the side. He got that nice little ball into Matty Godden. Matty Godden, obviously, then went to strike it. It kind of hit off the back of Lati Bader's heel, didn't he? Got in the way unintentionally. It then fouled, obviously, to the edge of the box to Josh Eccles, and he's hit it first time. Granted, it took a big deflection, but as they say, if you don't shoot, you don't score, and we find ourselves 2-0 up. Thoughts on the goal, mate?
Yeah, I think with Eccles, I think that he's been, again, another one that's been under a lot of criticism recently from a lot of fans. Whether you agree with that or not, what he needs to do is what he did on Saturday, that with Kelly holding, he needs to play a little bit further forward and start obviously getting in amongst the shots and amongst the goals, because, you know, Kelly's doing that defensive role. He doesn't need to sit next to him holding his hand. He needs to get forward and start producing in the attacking areas. And I thought it was a really well struck goal. Easily could have kept it really low. I know it took a deflection, but he kept it nicely on goal and he got his rewards. It was a nice side foot finish because he could have easily thrashed at that. So it was a nice cultured finish by Eccles, and I want to see more of that from him. If he's going to play in the midfield and he wants to be a starter for us, he's got to start chipping in with a few goals and getting more forward than he has been.
Yeah, I agree, mate, most definitely. I think shout out to Dino in the chat, and obviously my dad as well for this. They noticed, again, Eccles obviously getting more forward, but also Jamie Allen. It's one thing that we've not seen in the last few games, and to be honest, a lot of this season is forward runs. It's something we were really good at last year, and in the second half, I think Robbins alluded to it after the game as well, didn't he, that we were running into space a lot more, and we were really stretching them on the back foot. And I think obviously once the first goal went in, as they say, the floodgates started to open, and we were finding a lot of space then in between the lines, and when we were playing it, Allen was able to drift off into space. And I think that's one good thing about when you do play Allen in those positions, because he's not a natural number 10, he doesn't just tend to stay in the pockets. He tends to drift out almost as like a third midfielder. But what that does is create confusion for defences, because he'll be behind you without you even realising he's there, and then he's in a good pocket of space to thread it through or thread a ball through for someone. And I think that was what started to happen and galvanise in the second half, and it really helped us then, obviously, like you said, to go on, and it allowed almost Eccles to have another free roll of where he thought, right, if I run to the edge of the box here, this gets blocked, this falls to me, I can hit this. And he's just hit it first time, takes a deflection, and it goes in the back of the net. And we obviously find ourselves 2-0 up and in a pretty good position and full of confidence. So yeah, kudos to the midfield who made that goal, in my opinion, but mainly Allen and Eccles, really. And then obviously Lati for getting forward in that position. And I think he's shown that he can play out there, really. No one really knew how he was going to fare for us, did they, in the wing-back role? As Swansea fans have said, he was pretty naff out there, and we almost saw him as a centre-half or even a midfielder. But
sorry to interrupt, Ross. He gets it as well, by the way. You know how you said the silver gets the club? He gets it big time.
Big time. I agree with you on that one as well. It just his tweets and what he puts about Cov, yeah, and all of this stuff. He absolutely loves it. And you can see whenever we score a goal, I always like to see the players that get it. De Silva's one that always gives it a little fist pump. Lati Bader is always there giving it some. And another one that we have missed is obviously Van Ivac. He's a very passionate player as well. And we saw it with him, and hopefully he'll be back soon as well. But yeah, I agree with you on that one. He is just one that gets it, and you can tell he wants to be here. He's enjoying his time here. He's enjoying the fans, the group of players he's with, and I think he'll be a good player for us as we go along. Moving then, obviously we were 2-0 up. It was all looking well and good, and then not long after our second goal, there was another what we'd say huge moment in the game. More, it was from our point of view, but more so I'd say the host point of view, QPR. They had obviously a mix-up between Thomas and Wilson, leading to sort of a challenge from Wilson on Sinclair Armstrong's, with him just falling to the floor and appealing for a foul. there's a lot of thoughts you can put into this situation. Was it a foul? Was it a penalty? Was it a free kick? Was it a red? Was it a yellow? I know listening to Ainsworth after the game, he certainly felt very hard done by. And in his opinion, if they'd have got that free kick penalty, whatever it may have been, and the red card or whatever, he feels that the game would have changed if they'd have scored or something would have happened from that. So I know from my opinion that It looked like a penalty, but looking back, it was just outside, but it was definitely a foul. And I think if that was my team and that was us, I'd have been fuming if it wasn't given against us. So what was your thoughts on it, mate?
Yeah, foul outside the box, mate. It was blatant. It was really poor play by those two. You know, no talking. Or if there was talking, they weren't listening to each other. So we got away with one there. But it weren't a penalty. It was just outside the box, if you look at it in detail. But yeah, no, that was a foul, and we're lucky to get away with that. But like Robin says, after the game, sometimes you earn your luck, don't you? And we earned our luck then, but we were lucky to get away with that, in my opinion.
Yeah, totally agree, mate. And just touching on the communication side of things, if you actually see it and you watch it, Thomas actually says to Wilson, almost like come here, almost as if to say, come out and, you know, boot the ball up the pitch, whereas Wilson's almost stood there waiting for it to come in the box. But you can see by how slow the ball's rolling that it's never ever going to go into the box. So I don't know what Wilson was hesitating for. And touching back on my earlier points, yeah, he makes the save, but looking at it there, that there,
he's not having him here.
Yeah, these are the things that kind of put doubts in my mind, really, about Ben Wilson. I'll be totally honest, it's that they are the things that almost make me think, is he going to be, especially with like Goddard and others have touched on it this year. We're not transition goats anymore, as I used to like to call us. We're back to ball playing Coventry City, aren't we? Where we're trying to move it around and move between the lines and use our wing backs and number 10s, etc., to link play. So we'll see moving forward.
On your point regarding Wilson, Ross, I think something that I probably your big bear and something that he needs to work is technically with his feet. It's not great, is it?
Yes, mate. Like, again, he's had a good game yesterday. I don't want to knock him. The clean sheet's not his fault either as well. But it's, for me, it's not even, it's certain things that he does and in the games that I look at him and I just think, I'd like more of a commanding goalkeeper. I think with his feet, like you said, whenever he gets the ball at his feet, I'm never, ever confident with him at his feet. I'll be totally honest. I know people take the mick and go, shoot sometimes, because obviously the goal against Blackburn last year and all that kind of stuff. But he's not a ball player. When you see him pass it, a lot of them, they either go nowhere or they might end up out of play, or he's good at what he needs to do sometimes, but there's a lot of things that you need to improve. I always say you can see why he's always been a number two in his career and not a number one. And that's just my honest opinion of him. I don't knock the guy when he's in goal for us. I want him to do well. And don't get me wrong, he got the most clean sheets in the league last year. Fair play to the guy. And he is a sound bloke, and he's someone that you'd want at your club, hands down, just because of his persona, and how he is. But for me, moving forwards, I just think if Collins, we've bought him in and we've paid what, 700-800 grand for this guy, is he the answer that we need? Someone pointed out we still haven't got rid of Simon Moore. You know, we've got three goalies at the minute, and we'll see what happens as it goes on. But I do believe Collins will be in the mix at some point throughout the season, because, you know, we've paid money for him, and it's only a matter of time before Wilson maybe makes a mistake and he comes out.
I think with Wilson because of his clean sheet record last year and what he did last year, I think he's going to have to make a couple of big ricks to get a drop.
Yeah, I agree with you, mate. I think it's going to have to be a couple of mistakes or a bit. But Robbins is quite ruthless like that, as we've seen before, because you look at Moore last year, three games, three big mistakes, and he was gone, weren't he?
Which
and the year before
enough.
That. The year before that, who would have thought that Moore would have got dropped for Wilson? We'd have never have thought that. Do you know what I mean? We thought was Super Simon Moore in goal, wasn't it, the year before that?
I remember.
How football can change. But we'll see regarding that as time goes on. As I said, mate, obviously that then happened and they didn't get anything from it, fortunately enough for us. We then went on to get that all-important third goal and to pretty much, I'd say, wrap up the game once this had come in. Obviously, there was a nice bit of team play again. It finished off with, as we've touched upon earlier on in the pod as well, of Alan getting in those positions. He got down the side again, whipped in a lovely ball across the face of goal, and it's come to Sims, and it's just another instinctive finish where he doesn't even have time to think about it again, which is what he needs, and he smashes it into the back of the net. And as Robin said, that is quite a difficult finish because it was bouncing up at him, and that's what you get when you get one goal from a bit of confidence. If he didn't have a goal at that point, would he have maybe missed that or tried to take a touch and put it over the bar? But that earlier finish just gave him the confidence, just hit it into the back of the net. So do we think now that, obviously, Robbins has touched upon it, that, you know, he's not been match fit. You think he said it himself since he come into the club, Sims, he's not been match fit at all. That they're saying that's one of the reasons why it's took so long. Do we think now that he's getting more match fit and he's sort of playing, and now that he's scored a brace, will this sort of confidence give him confidence, sorry, to kickstart his Coventry City career, do you think, mate?
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
Going back to the goal, that was unbelievable goal. The team football was fluid. It was absolutely fantastic. It's one of the, you won't see a better goal this weekend, team-wise. It was absolutely unreal. And Jamie Allen's touch from Wilson's punt up the field was unreal. You know, that is unbelievable.
I'll touch on that. That was a great touch. And that's something we missed massively.
Yeah. Beautiful touch. So, and then he didn't stay and admire his touch. He was on his bike and he got into position. He got into the, I don't know who played the ball into him, but he got into it, into that great position on the right-hand side. And he just, because sometimes when you get in those positions, it's quite easy to obviously get, you know, rush of blood to the head and it ends up in the stand behind the goal, or you just don't get it. But the weight of the pass was absolutely spot on for Sims.
I think it was Eccles for that, wasn't it, that played that through? I think Alan played it to Latty played it to Eccles. Then again, speaking of those runs, Alan made that run and he span off the back of obviously the defender, and then he was in, wasn't he? So.
But yeah, the pass was perfectly weighted, and Simsy didn't need to think about it again, and it was in the roof of the net, and you know, he was wheeling off and to the brilliant 2,000 and a half Sky Blue fans behind the goal. To answer your question about Sims, I think this will do him the world of good. I think now he'll feel like $1 million, and him and God, I think sometimes, to be fair with Godden, I think they linked quite well on Saturday. Even Godden was winning a few flick-ons, putting Sims in it. It looked a bit more better link-wise. And I think also with Sims, he had a shot that he could have laid Godden in. I think at the moment, they're day two at the moment. You know, I feel a little bit sorry for Hadji Wright, because, again, I think he's got talent. I think he will come good. Definitely, he can beat people. And I think he will score goals for us. But at the moment, for me, you know, you play Sims and Godden all the time, at the moment,
Yeah, I think as we just touched upon, I mean, I'll be honest, I've not been a big fan of Sims. I've said give him time. He's not, for someone so big, I'd like to, it's not even just his goals, it's his hold-up play. You know, sometimes you just want it to stick to someone a bit more, and I just don't feel like he's done that as well as he should for someone as big and strong as he actually is. And he does have quite an athlete. I know he's not Gyökeres, he'll be nothing like Gyökeres, but he has a similar build to Gyökeres, that athletic kind of slim, ripped but strong, big style to him, doesn't he? And you just expect him to, you know, be able to hold the ball up a little bit better. And I think that's one thing that I've been critical of him, as well as the goals. And I was frustrated for him on Monday, actually, when that ball didn't hit the back of the net for him for the goal, because it was so unlucky. But yeah, I think as you said, I think the two goals that he got, I think it will do him the world of good. And if he can't now kick on from that, that's when you then start to worry a little bit, because he's had the two goals, he's played well second half, he's got a standing ovation from the fans, you know, everyone's behind him. You've seen on Twitter, we're making up songs for him and stuff now. So hopefully now, if we get a song going for him and he starts to put in some good performances, hopefully he won't look back now. And Lockie's touched upon, I think he said it at the Ross said, didn't he, in our chat, that he touched upon that confidence is a big thing for him as a player, because we do forget he's still only 22 years old. And I think confidence moving forward for him, if we get behind him and him getting fitter and playing every week, is only going to help him in his career and obviously scoring goals for us this season, which is what we're going to need if we want to be in and around where we say we want to be, which is the playoffs.
The only thing with Sims is that I don't know if he's got that devil streak in him for a striker. He seems a bit nice to me. You know, with Gok was just obsessed with scoring goals. He was had that little bit of a nasty streak in him for me. I don't know about Sims, if Sims has got that. He seems all a bit too nice for me. You know, when he's holding the ball up, it bounces off him a little bit. He needs to be getting his, you know, arse into defenders, really, you know, putting himself about. And I don't know if he's got that, like, centre-forward devil streak in him where he needs to be that. So that's my only... I'm going to wait to see on that, but that's my only thing with him. I don't know whether he's got that. So we'll have to wait and see on that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's one of the things at the moment is a little bit about him, is that, like you said, Gyökeres wasn't even just obsessed with scoring goals. He was obsessed with being the best. And that's what I loved about him. Some people said he was greedy. And don't get me wrong, Gyökeres was greedy, but he was greedy for a reason, because he knew what a damn good player he was. And that was why I was never bothered about him doing it, because for all the times he'd spoon it over the bar or he'd do something annoying, you know, he'd pull out a Wigan moment, for example, where he'd get it, he'd run and he'd score. And he was the GOAT. And a lot of people say, oh, well, you know, we can... In my opinion, we won't see a striker probably as good as him for however many years, just his actual play and seeing him now thrive for Sporting. But that's a different conversation. But touching on Sims, I want that side to him as well, and I agree. But at the moment, we've not really seen that with him, have we? Like you said, for someone so big, you want him to just use his size a bit more and let him know, you know, especially when we're at home and the crowd are behind us. You want him to, first 15, 20 minutes, when he's challenging for those balls, like you said, put your ass into someone, leave a shoulder, leave a little leg, let them know that they're in for a game with you today. But he just does seem a bit too nice for his size, doesn't he? But hopefully now he's scored a couple of goals, he's got a bit of confidence, we might start to see. And, you know, he is working with Vivash and Robbins and, you know, Dennis Lawrence, and they all have a mean streak in them, don't they? And they like their players. So hopefully they're trying to coach that into Sims a little bit as the time goes on. And he is still young. So, you know, we've got him for 4 years. He's 22 now, so he'll be 26. So we have got to remember it is going to take him a bit of time. But I agree, that's the one side I'd like to see more with Sims in the coming months as we go along, is that nastiness. Moving on, obviously, I tweeted this at the time saying I was frustrated with it. They then went and scored a 90th minute goal. Kenneth Pahl, I think is how you say his name, got a goal back for the visitors. Really sloppy defending, I'd say, from Louis Binks. That Sinclair Armstrong just kind of got it and breezed past him, really, I'd say. I remember when the goal actually goes in, a lot of the defenders almost look over to Binks as if to say, like, well, what the hell was that? You know, you've got to at least give a corner away or something there. Do you know what I mean? Don't just let him run into the box and put you on your ass and then square it across our goal. It's poor, naive defending. And Robbins has said, hasn't he, after the game, that it's one thing that he wants this squad to improve on is these goals that we keep conceding that are just rubbish. Teams aren't even having to work for them. It's just a run down the side of the box, squaring it across. And at 3-0, you'd expect us in the 90th minute to see that out and get a clean sheet. Frustrating from you for that poor on in the game, mate, to concede a goal and the way it was conceded?
Yeah, it was really poor. Annoying as well, because it could have done with a clean sheet. That would have built a bit more confidence. But it was almost like, you know, when you play football and you're 5 or 6 nil up and you just can't be arsed. It was a bit like that, mate, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it was, weren't it? It was, like, yeah. It was almost like Binks was like, oh, wow, we're 3-0. Yeah. This is what I am, innit? I'm a bit bored now. Well, next goal wins type of thing, wasn't it?
It was a bit like that. So we've all been there. So, we'll let them off with that one. But, yeah, it was poor.
Yeah, it was. I said I really wanted a clean sheet in that game. I wanted us to either get a fourth, or if we didn't get a fourth, see the game out and get that clean sheet and take a 3-0 away. Because I think 3-1 almost makes it seem a bit more like it was an even game. But I don't really think it was, to be honest with you. I mean, Ainsworth come out and said, oh, you know, this decision happened, it was a change. But if you look at what their fans said, they said we weren't in it the second half at all. It was all Coventry and we took them to the cleaners, really. And it was nice to see us do that. So, yeah, it was frustrating, but we won't dwell on it too much. Touching on our defence now, Andy, Liam Kitchen, our deadline day £4 million centre-half signing. He's only seen minutes against Cardiff this season, which was away, and I think that was for only 25 minutes or so. Would you have liked to have seen sort of more of him in the time that he's been here since at the end of August? And also in the next three games coming up before the break. And would you make any defensive changes for him coming into the side? I know from my point of view, I'd like to see Binks rested on Wednesday. I think he's had a good little run in now. We've not kept a clean sheet with him in the teams. There's no reason for him to stay in. He's played okay, but he's not been amazing. And I would just like to see that back three, to be honest, of Kitchen on the left, Thomas on the right, and Fads in the middle, I think, just to try and change it a little bit. What would you say on this, mate?
Yeah, I think that will probably happen. I heard rumours that Kitchen was going to start on Saturday, so I was quite surprised he didn't. Maybe because I thought Binks actually played quite well against Huddersfield, to give him his due, and he hasn't done badly for us. But I think it's an ideal situation to take him out against Blackburn. And I'd like to see, like you said, I think that back three, I'd like to see that as well, definitely.
Yeah, definitely, mate. I think, you know, we've got a versatile defence, haven't we, really? And it's one of the areas that we're actually quite strong in terms of versatility, which is good as the season goes on, because you always need a defence that's going to be in this, especially with us playing three centre-halves. We need more than a team that plays sort of four. So to have a back, well, really five defenders of obviously Thomas, Latty, Fads, Binks and then Kitchen is quite a nice balance to it, really. And I know that I believe Robin said, didn't he, that there's two players that should be back in training tomorrow when they're back in that were originally out for what they thought was going to be longer. I think the longest person that's actually now out is Ben Sheaf, I believe. I believe he's due back after the international break. But Robbins did say in an interview, this was before obviously the QPR game, he said that, touch wood, if nothing goes wrong, and from what the medical team is saying at the moment, they should be able to train. So I'm guessing that's Milan and Casey that could be back in the mix this week within the team. So if obviously Milan's back fit and obviously trained for Monday, Tuesday, and obviously Casey as well, would you make any changes to the defence overall, or would you still just stick with Latty at wing back and then just bring Kitchen in with Fads and Thomas and then De Silva in the back five on Wednesday against Blackburn?
It's interesting, that, isn't it? I'd probably keep it how it was. I'd bring Kitchen in, like you said.
Yeah,
I'll leave De Silva at left back and I'll leave Latty at right wing back, because I think I watched Blackburn against Leicester. We'll come on to that in a minute. But they're not a bad side going forward, you know. So I know they're missing a centre forward, but they can make chances. I know they scored five against Cardiff the other day. So I'll probably play Latty at right wing back and play De Silva at left wing back, Kitchen, Fads and Collins for me.
Yeah, I think... In my opinion, I would like to see Milan back, because I do rate Milan a lot, especially defensively. But as someone touched upon, really, if he's just had an injury, yes, it might not have been as bad, but we don't really want to push him too much. And with a break coming up, it could be good for him. So if Latty played well there Saturday, we'll just may as well stick with it and put him at right wing back, put Milan maybe on the bench. We could be surprised. Maybe O'Hare could be thrown on the bench as well, or even Palmer together. You know, even if these players don't come on, just having them on the bench is a boost for us as fans to be able to actually see, you know, what these players are going to be back after the international break, and they're going to be fit. And we've got two home games. So yeah, I think I agree with you on that one. I'd keep Kitchen in there. I'd put Kitchen in for Binks, and I'd probably keep the rest of it the same, to be honest with you, going into Wednesday. Keep Allen, Kelly and Eccles as the three at the moment. And then obviously we'll have a lot of options off the bench then if needs be later on in the game. Before we finish off, Hadji Wright, we touched upon him earlier on. He seems to be getting the Sims treatment now, doesn't he, of Coventry City Twitter, with people tagging him in how to finish chances, calling him a waste of 8 million. Does he care about playing for Coventry? Was it a mistake in signing him? What are your thoughts on Hadji firstly as a player so far this season? And also secondly, the criticism that he's been taking from our fans since Hull away. Because I know before that in all the other games that I'd watched him against Leicester when he come on, Middlesbrough at home, Sunderland at home, Watford at home, all of these games, Swansea away, he actually played well and he was a real, real handful. And then we had the break. We come back and he had a couple of bad games against Hull and Cardiff. And then ever since then, everyone seems to have been hating on him. And I don't think it helped with that that chance against Huddersfield the other day where he put it over. But it seems to be like now Sims was getting it. But obviously, people are going to be off his back now because he scored two. But Wright's going to seem to get all the stick and what people look out for now. So what are your thoughts on how he's been so far this season? And obviously the criticism that he's taking as well.
Like you said, I think he's been getting the criticism because the fans have been unhappy with the start of the season, the draws, and I think it's just bared out pure frustrating, and they've got to vent it at someone, and because he's not scoring goals, they're venting at him. It'll be somebody else down the line. So what he needs to do is that, like you said, at the start of the season against Leicester, Swansea, even, you know, the assist against Watford. He looked a real handful for me, and I was really excited for what he was going to produce. And yeah, he hasn't played particularly well or finished a few chances, and he needs to improve on that. But you have to remember, it is a new league. He's probably getting used to new surroundings as well, because obviously he's used to playing in Turkey. He's from America. So, you know, he's going to take time to settle in. Give him a bit of time, but there's a player in there, I've seen it, so I'm not too fussed about it. I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, I agree with you, mate. I think this one, to be honest, I've got more hopes for him than I actually do have Sims, if that makes sense. I think there's more of an actual overall player what we want in Hadji than there is Sims. I think, like you said, it's a mixture of the price tag. He's not really done anything or scored a goal since Middlesbrough. I think because he got that goal, people then expected him to go on and score every game because he cost 8 million and all this kind of stuff. But like you said, I've seen enough of him in those games where he was playing with confidence that he's a real handful. He is just missing the finishing touch at the moment, like you said, and scoring. But also, the only thing you could really criticise him for is maybe he could try a bit harder in some situations sometimes. But that comes down to a lot of things. It's confidence. It's, you know, like you said, he's an American boy. He's been living in Turkey for however long now. He's not used to playing in England. It's getting cold now this time of year, as silly as that sounds. He's not used to all these things, and it does take time to adapt. And they are human beings at the end of the day. Yeah, he's cost us a lot of money, but there's a reason that Mark Robbins and King have paid nearly £8 million for this guy, because they obviously think that someone at 25 years old for the next 4 years of his career could be a real success and handful once it starts to click. And we've all seen those runs and how fast he is and strong he is when he is full of confidence. I think he just needs another Sims moment where he gets a goal, sticks it in the net, almost like his middle goal, really. He doesn't have time to think about it, smashes it in the back of the net, and then before you know it, every commentary fan will be singing ole ole, do you know what I mean, again. Yeah. we'll all be loving the guy. So I think it just comes down to the sheer fact that he's not got any confidence at the minute again, and I don't think it helps with that chance that he missed on Monday. I think if he'd have buried that, it could have been a completely different story. But this league can happen at any time, and games come thick and fast, and he's got two home games now to try and do it in. So if he is on the bench, he's just got to think in his head, if I come on, I've just got to put a ball in the back of the net and it will change everything for him, just like what Sims did this weekend. So, yeah, going on to obviously the game overall, the game obviously ended in a 3-1 win to us. We would have liked 3-0, but 3-1 we take them, 3 points, and then finally a win, not a draw. We'll get some man of the matches to obviously to finish off and wrap up with this, Andy. Who would you give your man of the match to for the weekend, mate?
I think you can only go to one man. I think Simsy wins it for me. For his two goals. But you've got to have a special mention to Jamie Allen, the way he came back into the team. You know, he made a huge difference to us. You know, the assist for the Simsy's second goal was just sublime. I talked about his touch on that as well. So I'll give it Sims for his two goals, but special mention for Jamie Allen. I've been banging on 2 weeks before about him being back in the centre midfield, and I'm so glad Robin's not listened to me, but listens to, and he's back fitter now, obviously, because he had issues, didn't he, at the start of the season. So I'm glad he's back for us because he gives us a lot of energy, which is what we need.
Andy Griso's Sky Blue Army will have to start singing soon. Yeah, those decisions, mate. I'm going to go the same, mate. I was going to go Allen. I think, like you said, I'm only a critic of Allen when it comes to his sheer goal scoring power, and if that makes sense. But his actual him as a player and the running, and he's a quality individual to have in the center of the pitch for ourselves, and he has been crucial for us the last couple of years, really. And having him back is a big plus. And like you said, hopefully having those minutes at the weekend and him playing and coming on, we'll start to see a lot more of him now. And then obviously adding O'Hare to that as well, it will only make things tick a little bit more, especially for the new players, having these players that have played, and adding Sheath then back in as time goes on, and Kelly coming out for Sheath, that will be a big difference for us moving forwards, and it will be a positive as the season goes on, really. So yeah, I'm going to go the same. Sims, man of the match. Obviously, he got two goals, a brace finally off the mark for us. That'll be a big weight off his shoulders as well. He now doesn't have to think, oh, well, I've not scored a goal for Coventry yet. Or it's the, you know, like what people do for Havertz on Twitter. It was a good weekend for those two, really. Two players that had took massive stick. You had Havertz for Arsenal, obviously getting the penalty, and Sims got two for us. So those two will definitely feel new men going into training on Monday morning for both their clubs, finally going from 007 or 008, what people used to do, all that kind of stuff, the James Bond stuff, to now putting it in the back of the net. So yeah, good weekend for us overall. That's all we have time for this week. Big obviously thank you for Andy for joining myself, and of course the biggest thanks goes to you, our listeners. Just to remind everyone that the Sky Blue Tavern and Dylan's Brewery remain your locations to go for any of the big games. And if you do want to get involved with the conversation across socials, all you need to do is use the hashtag SBE Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Sky Blues Extra Podcast.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport, powered by fans.